Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
So I've been thinking about this season and that we find ourselves in, and I've been wanting to invite you to meditate on some things. It's some stuff that I've been rolling around in my heart, and I just want to offer it to you and just meditate on it and see where it fits in line with what God's having you think about and meditate on. First of all, I want to thank you guys for praying for us as a family. Tiffany and I were able to go down to Arizona last week and spend some time with her dad, and that was really healing. He got COVID about the same time I did. And so we found last week to be pretty restorative. You know, you get into some lower elevation, you get into some warm, sunny weather. That's always good for the soul, right? But it makes me just realize and remember that there are several in our community who have not had the opportunity to go and do something like that, and they're still trying to work through it. Like, I'm thinking of you, Patty and Dan. Thanks for being here. I know it's been a long journey for you, and you're not through it, are you? You're still kind of in the weeds with this thing, right? And that's the weirdness about this, because I can relate. There's some aspects of this. It kind of has a long tail of recovery, doesn't it? It's like the kind of the brutality of it ends relatively quickly, but then there's this more subtle stuff that's just, well, it's not so subtle, but it's like up and down for a while. Yeah, 8.5 weeks for you. So I want to pray for you guys that would end. I also want to pray for anybody that you might know who's sick. And, of course, I want to pray for the Carr family. As you know, Val Carr, the mayor of Woodland Park, passed away this week with COVID. That's a big deal, too, you know. It's like, come on. So with that, I just pray. Jesus, yes. Jen and Patty, yeah. Like, it was touch and go. So, yeah, Jim and Patty, Lena, they're part of our community. They live in the Springs. They've been faithful to come and be a part of the Aspen Grove group. Jim's been part of the men's group. So, yes, we'll pray for them as well. Anyone else by name that we know? This is actually a pretty contagious thing. And I know that, you know, we don't need to get off into opinions about, you know, all this. I do know that for us to, for example, wear masks around people, especially if we've had direct exposure, is kindness, not fear. Yeah? And so let's just consider that. And thank you for, thank George for not showing up, thinking he's, you know, got a big S on his chest and immune to all this. Like, we are subject because of the frailty of our humanity and the brokenness of the world that we live in. We're susceptible, and yet we are not overpowered by illness and sickness. And so prayer works, and prayer for the sick works. And Jesus is still in the business of bringing healing and restoration to people. So with that, let's pray. Jesus, you are central to our fellowship, and we rely on you and depend on you for everything pertaining to life. And so, Lord, we are asking for healing virtue to flow into these individuals, the home group in Texas, to Jim and Patty, to Dan and Patty. Lord, we just want to ask for your strength to enter into their bodies. We speak to your physical bodies. Anyone that you're thinking of now, I'm thinking of, you know, folks that we know that are still dealing with the effects, the families of those who have lost loved ones. Lord, we are asking now, as we speak out into the realm of the spirit, to those physical bodies, be healed in the name of Jesus and receive the healing power of Jesus Christ. We just want to curse the virus in Jesus' name and tell it to die. And we speak life to immune systems and to every system of the physical body, whether that's respiratory or circulatory, nervous system, whatever the system is that has been affected by this virus, we just speak life to you. Rise up. Be strengthened in this name of Jesus that we align ourselves to. Amen. Amen. I love that, Anava. She's a cutie. So these are the three things that I've been thinking about that I wanted to point us towards, kind of as a focal point. It's becoming more and more my filter as I'm moving through this season of life, and I want to live my life according to these three things, and I wanted to offer to you the invitation to consider how you might apply or how this might apply to you. And the first one is, I want to rest in the strength of the Lord. I want to rest in the strength of the Lord. So with all the different whys in the road and decisions that I'm making and how I'm going to respond and react to things, I want to choose to rest in the strength of the Lord. So that's the first one. And the second one is, I want to choose humility. I want to choose to walk in humility. I'm part of different groups. I'm part of the Woodland Park School Board. I'm part of other groups. People have me come and share, and you know, I'm honored, I'm flattered by that. I meet with people on a regular basis from different places in the nation, and I do, you know, counseling ministry and all that. Honestly, I just think that humility is the best path through every single one of those involvements for my life, and I just want to encourage you to consider how we can choose humility. And the third one, this is a focal point, is I want to be part of overcoming evil with good. So I want to rest in the strength of the Lord. I want to choose humility. And I want to be part of overcoming evil with good. Now, I think the humility and the resting in the strength of the Lord, they're kind of two sides of the same coin. And I believe that overcoming evil with good is what we get to do once we receive the grace given to the humble. Right? And so more on that later. The first thing I wanted to do with this is I wanted to just kind of tell you a story. Now, I'm not walking down memory lane just to reminisce, but I do want to tell you a story that harkens back to, I think it was my first backpacking trip that I ever went on when I was a kid in the youth group here at this church. And we're going back to 1982. That's back before we needed a dinosaur resource center because dinosaurs walked the face of the earth. Some of you who are older than me are like, you don't even know. But the kids are like, man, you're old, dude. It's true. So the thing was that Mike Corman was a youth pastor here. And I was just out of high school. I think I was maybe right in high school. I was like 17, 18 years old. I was probably 18 years old. And we went out to a place outside of Crested Butte, Colorado. And it's the wilderness area called the Raggeds, the Ragged Wilderness area. We thought that was cool. And so we hiked up in there. And I remember it was a really, actually, very hot day. Like, so full backpacks, hiking above tree line or right at tree line. And for Colorado, it was really hot. I remember that. And I remember cresting this one ridge and looking down into this basin, and all of us were like, look at that. There was this lake. It was a little lake. And it was like, have you ever seen or have you ever been in one of those, I think it's called an infinity pool, where the edge of the pool comes right to an edge and it just drops off, right? And so the water just kind of flows off like this, right? And maybe, you know, if you were on the Mediterranean, you'd see the sea out there or something like that. But it's called an infinity pool, I think. Is that what they're called? Yeah. So this pool was very much like that. The edge of the lake went right to a cliff. and it just dropped off, and you had this expansive view of these mountains. Now, here we are. We're up on the ridge, and we're looking down there. And I don't know how far it was. It seemed forever to get there. But we managed to get down there, and that became our goal, was to get down to this pool. And once we got down to the pool, backpacks came off, boots came off, maybe some clothes came off, and we went in, right? And so all of us guys were just splashing around, just having a great time in the pool. And I remember that evening, we had this time around the campfire, and we decided to call that pool Cool Pool 42. The reason why is because, obviously, it was a cool pool, and we were super hot, and it was very refreshing, but 42 came from a reference to Psalm 42. So here I am as an 18-year-old kid connecting with this, like, idea that a body of water can be so refreshing that not only did it have its own name, Cool Pool 42, but when we got back, we actually made T-shirts. That's how cool we were. And we had Cool Pool 42 T-shirts. So let me read Psalm 42, 1 and 2. As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you, O God. I thirst for God, the living God. Where can I go and stand before him? So at this time in my life, this spoke of a desire to know God and to really experience everything that he had for me, right? So this was part of the young community that I was in, and it was very exciting, the longing to know God, all right? So that was kind of at the heart of it. But the thing is that after all these years, this has still been a thread through my journey. And this has been a place that the Lord has brought me back to, not necessarily a mountain lake, you know, with its little infinity pool dynamic and the refreshment of that. Although there have been times in my life when I've entered into water like that and I've remembered instantly Cool Pool 42. So I'm not sharing this with you just so I can walk down memory lane. I'm sharing this with you because this passage still holds an invitation to find the restoration of the soul and to find it in the presence of the Lord. And like the 23rd Psalm says, the Lord leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. So last week I did speak about spiritual inheritance. And you know, you have to know this. Listen, we were talking about sons and daughters in the Lord and how Jesus has a lineage for us to enter into. It's the lineage of Christ, and with that comes an inheritance. And it's a spiritual inheritance that's meant to bring blessing through every family line, where the enemy had co-opted families and brought curses down through every family line. Jesus redeemed that, and he says, you're no longer from the lineage of Adam, you're from the lineage of Christ, and with that comes spiritual blessing. Receive it. Take hold of it. And that was the encouragement for us personally and also as parents to ask the Lord once again, like, what is the spiritual inheritance that you have for my children? And what are the battles that I fought in the spirit that are now gifts to my children as the result of this spiritual inheritance? So all of that is really, really good. But one of the things that you have to know is that only sons and daughters in the Lord can rest. That's part of our inheritance. Orphans, they strive in a spirit of lack. And slaves, they live in fear of a master. But we're neither. We're not orphans and we're not slaves. We're sons and daughters. And we get to enter into a place of rest or restoration, right? And it's a gift from the Father to his sons and daughters. And so this first, you know, piece that I wanted to point us to, rest in the strength of the Lord, it's tied to this, right? And so listen again to Psalm 42. I want to read it from the Passion Translation. I long to drink of you, O God, drinking deeply from the streams of pleasure flowing from your presence. My longings overwhelm me for more of you. My soul thirsts, pants, and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. So again, that's Psalm 42, 1 and 2. When we read out of the Passion Translation, the wording here is, my longings overwhelm me for more of you. The literal Hebrew here is, as a deer pants for the water's edge. But we have to know something, and I didn't know this as an 18-year-old boy. We have to know that the translation here, it actually takes from the metaphor of a hunted deer. So the context of this deer isn't just that it's, you know, peacefully wandering through the wilderness and it finds this beautiful stream, you know, and it's picturesque and there's birds chirping and music playing in the background. This deer is being hunted. And so listen to the rest of Psalm 42 in light of that. Because if we only take the first couple of verses out of Psalm 42 and we grab hold of those like I did for many years and not realize that what is backing this psalm is actually something much deeper, something much more relatable for most of us, this is Psalm 42 starting in verse 3. Day and night, I have only tears for food. The hunted deer. While my enemies constantly taunt me, saying, where is this God of yours? My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be. I walked among the crowds of worshipers, leading a great procession to the house of God, singing for joy and giving thanks amid the sounds of a great celebration. This is how it used to be. Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. But now, I'm deeply discouraged. But I will remember you. Even from the distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar, I will hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours His unfailing love into me. And through each night I sing His songs, praying to God who gives me life. God, you're my rock, I cry. But why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff, where is this God of yours? Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. So what this actually is a proper lament. And yet tucked in this raw, honest expression of the psalmist's heart to God, woven through that is hope. Woven through that is an honest assessment of their condition, and yet a desire that extends beyond their current condition and hopes for a future. And a declaration of this hope is like, look, it's what it is now. Like, I'm being honest with that. I'm not burying my head in the sand about what my life is like right now. But I know this is not the end of the story. I will praise Him again. I will experience His presence. I will enter into this. So, laments. I've discovered some things about lament. And one of the things that I've discovered is that a proper lament is actually a doorway into resting in the strength of the Lord and humbling oneself before God. So if the first two kind of focal points are going to be something that I want to step into, then I would encourage each one of us to consider, how can we lament in a way that's healthy and right? So the joke about the little pepper with the bow, and he couldn't shoot his bow because he didn't habanero. Okay, that was intentional. I learned about lament from a few people, but Terry Wardle is one of my mentors, and he taught me that when he was a, and I've shared this before, and I'll keep it brief, but when he was a young boy, his family, they were archers. And so it was a rite of passage when he got his first bow. And he was told two rules about shooting his bow. First of all, is you never dry fire the bow. And secondly, you only point an arrow at the target. To dry fire the bow is to pull the string back and release it without an arrow in it. And if you do that, then the energy of the string transfers to the ends of the bow and it will delaminate the bow and the bow will break down. But if you have an arrow in the bow and you release the arrow, the energy goes into the arrow and it's sent out with the arrow. And of course, you know, not shooting at the neighbor's cat or just shooting it straight up in the air, that's just common sense. That just makes sense, right? So shooting it only at the target, that's just good practice. Whether that target is a circle or whether it's, you know, some meat for the table. That being said, none of us can say we don't have an arrow. Okay, we all have arrows. We all have, like, things that we can put into the bow, as it were, and shoot it like a proper lament. It's a way for us to release what is in us in the way of tensions and energy and stressors and sincere challenges and struggles, and release that in a way that's proper so that we're not dry firing, as it were. And what that might mean is shooting it at other targets, like, for example, your spouse or your kids or your coworkers or the jerk on the highway who just cut you off, whatever it is. But releasing all of this in you to the target, which is actually, and some people flinch when I say this, the heart of God. This is the most appropriate and proper way to take what's in you and release it out. And I, like I said, this is a threshold, I believe, for us to rest, because when you're giving that up, you're actually releasing that to the Father. You're actually giving this, or giving whomever it is, giving the situation into the love and the care of God, and you're learning how to trust Him more with it. And it's also a tremendous acknowledgement that in and of your own strength, you don't have what it takes to solve the problems. And so you're relying humbly before God. So the questions then are, what is overwhelming you? What are your greatest sources of stress? What's oppressing you? These are your arrows. And I would just encourage us to learn how to point those to God. Now, the thing that I love about the example that we have in Psalm 42 is the psalmist allowed his heart to settle into a doxology of praise. As David does in this, listen, I will put my hope in you, God. I will praise you again. You're my Savior. Each day the Lord pours out His unfailing love upon me. And each night I will sing songs praising God who gives me life. So allow your heart to settle into this restful assurance that God knows what you're going through and He will give you what you need. Now, this is the part. I put need in here in capitals. Need. I should put it in quotes, because what we think we need and what God knows we need are sometimes two different things, right? God doesn't simply offer relief. He doesn't always eliminate the stressors. What God offers is intimacy. And so at the heart of this, in Psalm 42, verse 2, it's this: my soul thirsts and pants and longs for the living God. I want to come and see the face of God. This phrase really jumps out at me, and I really love it. And that's kind of why we went to the formational prayer exercise during worship. Okay, because I want to come and see the face is referring to a conversational, visionary relationship with the presence of God. This is what we need. We don't simply need the elimination of the stressors. What we need in the face of everything that our lives entail is we need connection with the source of life. He's the one that our hearts instinctively are longing for. And so to come into this is very much like what's described in Exodus 33:11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So we're not making anything up here. This isn't new stuff. This has been going on since Moses and before, that God would speak face to face. I mean, it started in the garden, for crying out loud, and that's what got lost and broken, and that's what Jesus has come to restore. And so this intimacy is what God is offering. And what was it said about Moses? That he was what? The most humble? And so as Peter preached of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, Peter, this is in Acts 2:28. He's quoting a psalm from David. Check this out. It says, "For you have revealed to me the pathway of life, and seeing your face fills me with euphoria." That's actually the literal translation in the Greek. The word euphoria here, it only occurs twice in the Bible, and both times it's in the book of Acts. It's the spirit of joy and ecstasy that comes from God. So, back to it. Seeing your face fills me with a spirit of joy and ecstasy that comes from your presence. The literal Aramaic translation here for that is, "You will fill me, O sweetness, with your presence." So that's why, for me, one of the highlights of the last several years has been helping people enter into that sort of conversational, visionary relationship that they are given as a spiritual inheritance from God. And whatever language you put on it, I mean, I use the term formational prayer quite a bit. But, you know, you can use other language around it. I mean, the ancients, you know, 1,600 years ago, they were calling it things like contemplative prayer, centering prayer. But it's a type of prayer where we're actually experiencing the presence of the Lord in a way that He really does meet our needs. And that's what I've been longing for. So that being said, when I've been leading people into this, it seems to me, this is my observation, that those who acknowledge that their souls are dehydrated, in other words, the humble ones, they seem to be the ones who cultivate over time, sometimes years really, this conversational, visionary relationship with the presence of God in a way that fills them with the type of joy that meets their need, their deepest needs. And so, that's what I wanted to share with you today. I wanted to kind of point us back to that, because as I was saying earlier, the three sort of focal points here is to rest in the strength of the Lord and to choose humility and to be part of overcoming evil with good. I think all of that then is going to be born out of and cultivated from this intimate place in light of the fact that we have real struggles, in light of the fact that we have some heavy things that we're navigating in life. And the Lord wants to hear about those things. And He wants to meet you in those things, just like He wants to meet me in those things. And so with that, I'd love to pray, and then we'll see what the Lord has next, okay? Lord, I've been just aware of the fact that this season has dehydrated several of us. And we're all in need. And so, Lord, just even as Mark started our time of worship, like, just kind of tired of status quo, going through motions, and longing for more. Longing for real heart connection and real life flow and real joy. Like, this language of euphoria and ecstasy, can we even go there, like, in our heads? Is that even, like, part of the equation for us? And if it's not, I'd ask you to deconstruct anything that's getting in the way and let us believe you, that your word tells us that this is available for us and it's part of our inheritance. And so, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, even in our laments, come to a place of praise. Come to a place of hope. Come to a place of acknowledging and even declaring over our own souls that there is hope for a good outcome and that there will be more than just relief. There will be intimacy with you that will fulfill the deepest longings of our soul. And give us all a cool pool 42, you know, like help us all get there somehow. A place in your presence. Even this week, Lord, as we set time aside, help us enter into a safe place with you where we can hear you and see you and experience you. And I pray that this would be an ever-growing, cultivated aspect of our life of faith with you. And so I pray, Lord, a blessing on everyone who is not only here but listening on Facebook or who will be watching this or hearing this on a podcast in the future. I bless you to enter in to a deep awareness of God's presence and for the reality of Jesus to just grow. And like you would experience Jesus in ways you've never experienced him before. And I pray that just like Moses, we would have conversations with the Lord face to face as friends talk. So I bless you in that pursuit, really in that receiving. Because as sons and daughters, we get to rest into this and receive it. We don't strive for it. We have no sense of having to earn it through merit or good standing. But through mercy, the Lord gives it to us. So I just want to invite you, just as a physical act of response, would you just put your hands out like in a cup, like you're holding water? Jesus, I want to ask for you to fill us. Some of us, we can relate to this sense of like the deer being hunted, the metaphor of that. In different degrees, I'm sure. So, Lord, I pray that you would, this is why I want to ask, Lord, for you to bring us into a safe place where we know in this place we are not hunted. We know in this place, Lord, we're protected and safe with you. So fill us, Lord. And then just as a physical act of response, just as much as you want to receive it, just press those hands into your chest, like over your heart. Just put your hands over your heart and just press them there. I bless your hearts to receive all that God has for you. I bless your hearts, like Paul said, the eyes of your heart to see. And I bless your hearts to be guarded by the peace of the Lord. I bless your hearts to experience healing and restoration. And I'm just reminded of this passage that refers to healing as the children's bread. Jesus, thank you for offering to us our daily bread, and it's restorative and healing, and it's you. So now just take a second and make it personal with the Lord. Just thank him. Ask him to show himself to you this week. And Mark, if you don't mind, I'm just kind of going with this. If you could play Jesus Be the Center, just maybe one verse and that, and just kind of help us stay in this place of meditation and worship, acknowledging that Jesus is the center. Mm-hmm. Jesus, we want to see your face. We know that you're not elusive.
Share a little story. Actually, we went up to see our daughter this weekend, and we went to a breakfast place and somebody got the order wrong, and the waiter was just freaking, and the manager started making a scene, and the guy whose order messed up, he kind of turned around and looked at us and was like, it's just breakfast. It's like, dude, it's just breakfast. And I'm just wondering what are the things that are just breakfast in our lives that we allow to just sort of like take over? It's like you want to approach life, and we want to live life, and we want to do the best we can and strive and improve and all this stuff. But it's just that, right? So it is important to be focused on Jesus. 'Cause nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center.
Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for all our kids, Lord. I pray that you would bless their adventure these next 6 weeks, 5 weeks really now. And Lord, I pray for all the young parents who've just really worked really hard this year, being with their kids and homeschooling and remote learning and all of these different things. And I just pray, Lord, that as we as a fellowship invest in them, as not only, you know, the families, but the kids in particular, Lord, that our kids would have experiences with you that are convincing to their hearts that you love them and that you're for them and that you have a plan for their lives and that your ways are good for them and that your encouragements and teachings are to be not only heard, but practiced. And I pray that we as parents would be watching and learning from our kids, that we would be encouraged in our faith through our kids. So I bless every young family that's a part of this fellowship and in this community at large, Lord, that you would infuse their homes with a new grace and a new joy and a new sense of hope. Pray for wisdom over these parents. And I pray that these kids, Lord, even though this is such a weird time for them, Lord, turn it into a gift somehow. Some silver lining of remembrance of like, yeah, back in 2020 and 2021, when we went through this global pandemic thing, that was hard, but I'm so grateful because of ... Whatever it is you want to gift them with, Lord, help them find some beauty that comes from this. And I guess we can all be there as kids, right? Help us find the silver linings, Lord. Oh, your presence is sweet, Jesus. And we thank you that you're going with us as we leave this place, to our homes and to our workplaces and to our relationships outside of this building. And I pray that we would be people of your presence and that we would carry you with us in a way that's manifested and real. And to close out, Lord, I do want to pray for our friends in Myanmar. Lord, you must have something for that nation so special. The enemy is just hell-bent on wreaking havoc. So Jesus, I pray that in the middle of the crisis, your light would shine bright in very practical and real ways. And that you would do miraculous things at a governmental level, the highest level of government. And where there is corruption, and where there is warring and divisions, I pray that you would miraculously bring a new unity and a new structure of order to that country in your name, Jesus. I pray for those who have authority on the ground there, Lord, who have been sent there, whether they're physically there or not, but their hearts are there. I pray that you would stir them as intercessors. And in their weakness, when they don't know how to pray, Holy Spirit, pray through them for that nation. Lord, we thank you for our friends who live there, for David and his family, for New, and all the children that are part of the work that they're a part of. I pray for Ben and Shanna's friends and extended community in Myanmar, Lord. Protect them, keep them well. And give them what we're talking about today. In the midst of it all, Lord, help them experience you in very intimate ways. And bring joy in place of mourning. Jesus, break through. And just break through in that place and shine your light. I'm kind of stirred. I'm going to probably keep going here for a minute. If you need to leave, that's fine. I just want to pray for this nation. The Lord has given us a long-term relationship with them for almost 20 years as a fellowship. In particular, a church that took on our name almost 20 years ago, New Covenant Christian Fellowship. And Joseph was the senior. He was the dad, you know. And he passed away and his son took over the work. And I talked to David for about 45 minutes last week via FaceTime. And he's been there for, man, it's been probably 8 years, almost 10 years now, running a really important work there. And he was just sharing with me how his heart is broken. It got me thinking about even this Psalm 42, to be honest. He's feeling it more than I've ever felt it. So Lord, I just want to pray for David. I want to pray for his family, and I want to pray for the 35 kids that they support with a place to live and food to eat and an education and health care. I've been there. I've been in that place, and I've stood in that building, and I've heard them praise you, and they've taught me a thing or two. And so I want to ask you, Lord, to just let praise arise and let shouts of praise be their weapon. And friends, you have to know that they pray for us a lot. They've been praying for this church and for the people in this community for almost 20 years. And so, Lord, by your Spirit, I want to ask you to knit our hearts together again in a way that's like meaningful and kingdom. So bless him, Lord. Lord, thank you for lifting our eyes and helping us think outside of ourselves here today. Thank you for giving us a broader vision of what's going on globally. Thank you that you're moving. You're moving in the nations. You're moving in our nation and in our city. So, Lord, we just want to lean into you and trust you. Help us let go of things that are just breakfast, and help us focus on the things that you invite us into. So, Jesus, thank you for this time this morning. Oh, we're so blessed. Good. Oh, keep playing, Mark. You're making me cry. It's lovely. So just a reminder, youth group tonight for middle school and high school kids, 6:30 to 8. And next week, 10:15, you can drop your kids here. I don't know if you got that memo, but you can drop your kids here. And you can go to Aspen Grove, or you can go home, you can go have breakfast with your wife, whatever. But we want to have this, you know, rehearsal time for our kids up to Easter, and we also want to just bless you as a family to let your kids come here. So with that, friends, thank you. I don't really know how to close this time. I'm just kind of like in a headspace right now. It's kind of weird. So thanks for being with me in that. It's not that unusual. All right. God bless you guys. We'll see you again soon.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org, and be sure to like our Facebook page.